You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Mella, lovely cushion header. But Gerrard! Oh, you're muted! What a head strike! What a head!
The time to Luis Garcia. Tries his luck. Oh, what a goal! What a goal! What a night! Luis Garcia makes it 2-0 for Liverpool. Stunning volley.
Side must score. He must score.
It's a goal!
It's that music again. So that means hello there. Welcome to this, your Champions League preview podcast here on the AI podcast channel. And wow, I don't think anybody expected quite what we got in the first leg. I thought it could be a tough tie. Anything but in the end. Liverpool did all the hard work and more besides away at Porto. But there is the task of a second leg to navigate, and complacency is the enemy. So we do not want a frightening evening, a nervous one, anything like that. Of course, we need to finish the job off. So it's got to be taken seriously, got to be professional. And of course, it's Anfield. It's a European night under the floodlights. So we like it to be a bit special. So hopefully it's going to be something to remember. And to look ahead to this this game, I've got two great guests. First is the Portuguese football analyst for Football Radar, Mr. Jamie Farr. Welcome back, Jamie. Welcome back to the show. And I almost feel like apologising. Maybe I should apologise for what we did to you in the first leg.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. Yeah. Yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere, really. I thought it'd be a lot closer than that, but here we are.
Yeah, we'll get down to all of that, the nitty gritty. Yeah. also with me back again is the one and only Guy Drinkle. Yes, the man of a million podcasts. Is it now, Guy, or is it a million one? Yeah, here for the Liverpool side of things, Anfield Index's own Guy Drinkle. Welcome along, Guy.
Thanks for having me, Andy. It should be fun pod from a Liverpool perspective.
Yeah, I mean, we'll start things off, obviously, looking back, retrospectively. We'll go back to that first leg, because obviously it has a huge impact on this second leg. And Jamie, I'll start with you then. Just your thoughts on the game in terms of, well, the performance and the setup from Porto. I mean, we'd spoken in the preview to that first leg of how like Porto like to set up counter-attacking football, and we thought the game would be tight, but it was anything but, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. The game just very quickly got away from Porto after I thought they'd made a decent start in the first 20 minutes or so before the opening goal. You know, they had a very good chance, came very close to taking the lead. I think it was Otavio had a deflected shot, and, you know, one of these things, you know, who knows how the game would have gone if that had gone in. But really, you know, the pivotal moment was the first goal. And unfortunately for Porto's, as everyone saw, is an individual error from the goalkeeper, who, it was a difficult night for him, because he's come in for a lot of criticism since Jose Sa, and actually been replaced by Casillas as the number one. But really, what was quite disappointing as well is the response to that is, the second goal came quite quickly afterwards, I think, a few minutes after. And I think, at that point, the mountain to climb there is so steep. And, especially against a team as, effective on the counter attack as Liverpool are, I think there was a sort of element of Porto not really knowing how to approach the remainder of the game. They missed a very good chance of their own as well just before half time to make it 2-1. That might have changed things slightly. Not really sure, but the second half in particular was just, a walkover, and it felt like the tie was gone after the second goal, but it certainly was after the third, and then anything after that was pretty academic, really. Quite frustrating night for Porto, obviously, but it could have been very different. But I think, kudos to Liverpool, because they sort of started a little bit slowly, but punished all the defensive errors that Porto made pretty ruthlessly, really.
Yeah, it was very much a ruthless performance from Liverpool. And interestingly, you mentioned there, in the first half, Porto did have a couple of chances. And that chance just before half-time, Liverpool going at the break 2-0 up. And as you said, that it could have been such, a completely different game had Porto got something back just before half-time as well. I think that always seems to be key one, doesn't it, scoring just before the half-time, either to extend the lead or to get something back. However it takes the game, but scoring a goal just before halftime seems to kind of change the complexion of things. And, anything that a manager might be planning in his mind of, tactics and team talk and what he wants to emphasise can be totally changed and shifted up by a goal. So, for that not to have happened, do you think maybe Porto even got the feeling that this just isn't going to be our night? It's not going for us, but Liverpool are taking anything that comes their way.
Yeah, definitely. I think there must have been a factor. I think the other thing, a goal at that time, or if they had put away that early chance, would have done is really lifted what was already a very cracking atmosphere. And particularly that chance from Suarez, if he'd scored that, I think went very narrowly wide. Maybe the crowd for the second half would have had a bit of renewed hope and pushed the team on a bit. But yeah, as you say, I think that's a good way of putting it. I think maybe they just thought, this isn't going to be their night. The away goals rule as well is so punishing. It's so vastly different to be 2-0 down in a normal league match. It's just it's doubly bad to have two away goals, especially with the prospect of a trip to Anfield. So, you do wonder if they did think, the players themselves and the fans thought, this is definitely over at half time. And as I say, I think the problem there is how do you approach the second half? Trying to get back into it is just going to leave you more gaps, which, there were gaps there anyway.
There were certainly a lot more open than I expected.
Yeah, and as I said, I think you can almost put it down to a little bit of perhaps inexperience of that situation amongst the personnel and perhaps Conceição as well, because he's still quite a young manager in the sense that maybe knuckling down and trying to get away with a 2-0 loss might have been best, but then, you know, Liverpool are so good at attacking, and I'm sure they wouldn't have stopped there and continued to press against a more defensive team. So it felt like the team were a bit in limbo somewhat, and you know, the mood Liverpool were in, more goals in that second half just seemed inevitable, really.
Yeah, just another factor I'm wondering about then is that with Porto normally being so strong at home, and obviously being a very strong team domestically, and was talked about on the night as well, is their European record at home is phenomenal. Is there perhaps a factor here that the players are just not used to being in this position in the first half that they were at home?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, being 2-0 down, you know, they're just not used to this. So it almost like, how on earth are we supposed to deal with this? Because this is just not something we're used to dealing with.
Yeah, definitely. I think when we spoke on the previous podcast, we were talking about, referenced one of their bigger European nights in recent years when they beat Bayern Munich in the first leg of a quarter final in 2015. And yeah, you know, those sorts of nights make you think, well, sort of made us think that, you know, the game was going to be a lot more difficult. That night in particular against Bayern, they got an extremely fast start. I think they were 1-0 up after just a couple of minutes. So, yeah, I think that's exactly right. It's more the scenario they found themselves in, as opposed to the occasion, I think, because there's some experience of in this team of those kinds of occasions, but this particular night, this particular opponent, and the fact that, yeah, as I say, the goals were scored so quickly between themselves as well, because, you know, there was no time to really react and settle after that opening goalkeeping error. So, you know, it was, as I say, I think it was just very ruthless from Liverpool, and Porto just didn't really have any ideas how to counter that.
So to Guy, just to bring you into things then, you know, from the Liverpool perspective, I mean, as Jamie's mentioned there, you know, the first half, obviously a goalkeeping error that helps Liverpool to take the lead. And through Sadio Mane and Mo Salah gets a second just a few minutes later. But, you know, Porto could easily have scored just before the break. Were you still a little nervous that going into half time, thinking, oh, you know, that there are still chances here for Porto? I mean, did you expect anything like that? Because I've got to say, as the second half wore on, I was just thinking, oh my God, I can't believe this. Oh my God, we've scored another one. It was mind-blowing. It was like Christmas morning almost, that second half.
Yeah, I mean, I was never expecting us to go on and score three more. But just thoughts on the half time. I mean, they had a couple chances. I think Lovren blocked one, and then obviously Van Dijk put someone off and he put it a slightly wide. But yeah, I mean, to go score three more at half time, I was thinking, all right, we've got the two goals. That's normally enough in Europe. We'll just Rafa Benitez the rest of this game, and we'll just take the 2-0 or try and keep it 2-1, whatever. It's a very good result. Even if we drew 2-2, it would have been a good result. But to go on and score three more, it was just magic. And I think you could see that Porto were probably inexperienced at this level. I think they go out with this stage in the Champions League quite often. And I think they had a few key injuries as well, and I think you could tell that, especially with how open they were at times in midfield. But yeah, our counter-attacking play was just on a different level that night. It was scary. And Andy, I'm sorry to go back again, but we have to talk about Salah's goal. It was absolutely filthy. To take that comfortable level of touch on that stage at that time. I mean, he did a touch with his head. It's insane. even the finish, when it was basically an open goal, he still bounced it into the ground to bounce over someone's foot. It was just absolutely magic. But yeah, the second half was just, it was just phenomenal. I think everyone performed that game, and people obviously will label some people on podcasts having agendas and stuff like that, but that Porto game, everyone performed. Not everyone was as good as Mo Salah and the other front three. I mean, it's weird, not singly, not the bloke who got a hat-trick, but not everyone's as good as the front three, but everyone performed that game, and that was probably our best performance of the season, and the second half especially was just terrifying.
Yeah, I've got to say, it's something that I pulled out at the time was, I came out of that game feeling that was a great team performance from Liverpool. It was one of them moments where everything just seemed to come together and everything kind of worked. And the team performed as a unit really, really effectively. And obviously, as a Liverpool fan, it was fantastic. It was a great night. Like I said, for me, that second half was, it was a bit like Christmas morning opening. All the things that you put on your list for Santa, somehow you managed to get all three big presents at once. And it was incredible. Dream scenario almost, you know, to go away to, an experienced European side, the tough European side, and do that. It just fantastic. And yeah, as you mentioned, Guy, that Salah goal, almost forgot that little touch, yeah, with his head. And I think at times we're almost in a danger of taking for granted just how good he is at this stage.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are kind of getting to the fact that Liverpool now have one of the most dangerous players in the Premier League, if not in Europe. His numbers, if you have a player whose numbers are comparable to Lionel Messi, and I'm not saying Salah's as good or even in the same stratosphere as Lionel Messi, but if you're just looking at playing stats, if his stats are comparable to Lionel Messi, you know you've got a hell of a player. And I think Liverpool fans, it's not been delayed. It's not like a Firmino situation where not everyone's seen what he's doing, or he's not stepped up to a certain level that people want. But Salah from day one has just been absolutely phenomenal, and now people are starting to just think of him as world class, and that's what he is. He's absolutely world class at his season, and hopefully he carries on, because if he stays like this, Liverpool are going to have a future legend on our hands, as long as he doesn't snake us.
And of course, we're not just here to indulge in the Liverpool side of things. And come back over to you, Jamie. What was the response in Portugal to the match itself? You know, the performance and just the result as well. I mean, you know, the result itself is something, but in terms of the performance for Porto to lose 5-0 at home in any competition, it's got to really register something. I mean, was there a bit of a backlash after it?
There was a sort of a few different reactions, really. Internally, I think that there was actually a really positive response from Porto themselves. I think the team sort of huddled together after the final whistle, and the fans did cheer them, and you know, I think you'd like to think that the fans were sort of quite realistic about, they must have been realistic about their chances before the tie, because, you know, as we discussed, we thought it'd be close, but I think it was difficult to look past Liverpool as pretty comfortable favourites for the tie overall. But yeah, I think they got behind the team, and the manager, you know, really shifted the focus to the league title. Which is the number one target for the season. And it's, you know, they haven't won the title since 2013, I think. So that's been something like a huge gap in their sort of recent history that they really need to address. And this season in particular, they've got a really good chance of winning the title. So, you know, I think they were very quick to move on, and the team responded in the right way as well. Funny enough, winning their next game 5-0, almost as a direct reaction to the Liverpool game. But yeah, in a sort of broader sense, I think there was a lot of discussions about how, you know, it's just a timely reminder of just how far behind the Portuguese league is to the Premier League, which I certainly think is a valid point. I think it's more not necessarily that, you know, the result and the game is reflective of that, because, as I say, I think it was a combination of Porto playing nowhere near what they were capable of, and Liverpool really, you know, putting in a very good performance and fully justifying the win. But there's a bit of disappointment about Portugal's Champions League performance in general, because Benfica had a terrible group stage, lost every game, and Portugal's been dropping in the coefficient rankings, that they've lost a Champions League place, and you know, these the campaign, although Porto did well to get to this stage, you know, they're not picking up many, the country itself is not picking up many coefficient points, so there's a bit of disappointment about that across the board. I think even rival fans, Benfica and Sporting fans, I think there was quite a few on Twitter that, you know, discussed how they wanted Porto to do quite well and progress quite far. I think there's a sense of pride in how the team, how representatives from the country perform in Europe. But from a Porto point of view, I think they couldn't really have responded much better, because they're, at the time of speaking, they're eight points clear in the championship at Benfica play today, so they can close that. But they just beat Sporting last night, really important win, and yeah, a couple of heavy victories since the Liverpool defeat as well. So overall, I think Porto have responded brilliantly, really.
I mean, you talk about that response, and that certainly is a convincing response, you know, to come back from 5-0 defeat to win 5-0 certainly would be the response that the manager was looking for from his team. And I mean, given that, you know, you spoke about there is that the focus has quickly switched to the domestic football, looking to win the title, haven't won the title for, what's it, 4 or 5 seasons. So that's really top of the agenda. I mean, given that, and given the scoreline and where the tie is on aggregate, how do you expect Porto to approach this game then? Do you think there'll be changes, or do you think he'll go for an experienced side and not want to be, you know, humiliated?
Yeah, it's difficult to assess, really, because, you know, knowing what the personality of the coach, Conceição, he certainly won't accept anything effort-wise substandard. They want to put in a professional performance. You know, obviously knowing full well that the tie is gone. I think rotation would certainly be considered. The only problem with that is, you know, the squad is very limited at the moment with injuries, so the scope for rotation is pretty minimal. But yeah, the league, the domestic championship is the clear focus now. So I think if there's any, you know, any players that are feeling slightly fatigued by the schedule, it's been a very busy 2018 so far. Then I would imagine he'd take the opportunity to rest a couple. But yeah, they'll want to be competitive on the night and try and put in a better performance. And you know, I could see heads might drop if they concede a couple of early goals again, but yeah, Conceição will definitely demand a good level from the players and try and do the fans proud.
And Guy, from the Liverpool perspective, I mean, you can't take anything for granted. I know 5-0, everyone, you should, anyone should reasonably expect that's it, tie gone completely. But you've got to respect the opponent. You've got to respect the competition. And, you know, if you go into it half-hearted, concede a couple of early goals, suddenly everything's changed and you get looking a bit worried. And you could look a bit foolish if you go in with a, you know, almost like a youth team against an experienced side. So how do you expect Klopp to approach this game with Liverpool? Do you think there will be some changes, a whole raft of changes, or do you think he'll look to maybe even go with the same side and just ensure that the tie is done? That's it, you know, maybe get to 60 minutes, make a few changes.
I think he'll do a couple changes. I think he'll try and keep the strongest spine. I think you'll see Van Dijk play for calming influence. I think Karius will play because he's in good form and so forth. Midfield's the weird one. I talked on the Premier League preview. I think Chan will play in the Porto game, because I think he'll be rested v Newcastle, because he has a suspension domestically if he gets another yellow. So I think Chan will play versus Porto, and then the other midfielders, I know we've got some illness and stuff in the squad, so it'll be tough to see who plays in there. But I think we might rotate the fullbacks. I think that'll probably be it. Obviously, we've got Moreno coming back from injury, so it might be good to get him some minutes. Gomez hasn't played that much recently, so probably play him. I think we'll try and play the front three and then just try and sub them off, I don't know, probably the hour mark or something like that, just for that insurance policy. Maybe just keep things calmer, and then you can bring on, I don't know, Ox, Solanke and things or something like that. It's not exactly glowing for our subs there, but yeah. I'd expect at the very least two of the front three to start, but I'd probably say all three to start. I think Klopp said he wants the job done rather than giving any sort of chance to Porto. So yeah, I kind of agree with that. Just a couple changes to get some people some minutes on the way back from injury.
Yeah, I've got to say, I mean, I know, obviously, like you say, you know, the goalkeeper and, you know, through the spine of the team, but I thought it would have been a really good opportunity to perhaps give maybe certainly two of the front three a little break. Maybe, you know, leave Firmino and Salah on the bench, give them a little break from this, you know, because right now the concentration and the main focus really has to be that, you know, the opportunity domestically is to solidify the Champions League qualification for next season. And not only that, but, you know, coming up next Saturday for Liverpool is a huge game away to Man United. So,
yeah,
you know, it's that little bit, isn't it? Holding something back and giving an opportunity to a few of the other fringe players to give them some time on the pitch. And it's a slightly difficult balancing act, isn't it?
Yeah, I think some people, obviously the UP guys, some of them have, try to dispel the momentum as a factor in sport and stuff like that. But I think managers and fans obviously believe in it quite a bit. So I think Klopp would rather go in, well, hopefully we beat Newcastle today. And then I think he tried to avoid like a weird tense game of Porto in the middle of the week, just to kind of keep the momentum going before the United game. So I can see from that point of view why he'd probably go with a bit more stronger, just to keep us just in good form, really. I mean, form doesn't switch on one game. But yeah, I think he just wants to try and keep everything positive, which is probably the right thing to do. But it will be interesting to see what he does. I think we're not exactly going to see Porto under-23s against Liverpool under-23s. I think that's probably the furthest thing from the truth. But yeah, as I said, I think Moreno probably get minutes. Maybe Klein. I'm not sure how fit he actually is, but I think Gomez or Klein will play. Lallana getting back some minutes. But the only problem with our front three, Andy, is that the fact that the backup to that is so weak. I know we've got a 5-0 buffer, but I think our system is so heavily reliant on Firmino and Salah. I think you could probably give Salah a rest more so than Firmino, because although Danny Ings is a proper hard tryer, things don't seem to gel when Firmino isn't in the middle. So maybe rest Salah and then play Ings on or right wing, or give Ox a chance in the front three. But yeah, it's a really weird conundrum, because that United game's probably, well, more important, seeing as we've got a 5-0 buffer.
Yeah, it certainly is. It will be on the minds of just in terms of match preparation and selections as well. So based on that then, Guy, what would your match prediction be then?
If the team is as strong as that as I think it'll be, I think we'll win again. I mean, our home form is very good, and I think Port will probably come in a bit down, rightfully so. And if they're very much focused on domestic football, I think we'll get another good win. Not 5-0. I think it'll be like 3-1 or something like that.
Okay, I think that's quite fair. And Jamie, for yourself, match predictions, how do you see the match going?
Yeah, I think very similar to what Guy said, really. Provided, I just think if Liverpool put out a relatively strong team, it's knowing Porto's motivations and the balance of the tie, it's difficult to look past a pretty comfortable Liverpool win, really. I think it could be a couple of goals, maybe 2-0, maybe Liverpool ease off a little bit with some important games of their own coming up. So, it could have quite a tame end to the game sort of thing. If a lead is built up, I can see it sort of maybe being 2 or 3-0 perhaps.
Yeah, both teams perhaps thinking more about what's to come domestically rather than this leg itself.
Yeah,
I think that's fair. So, as Liverpool fans, I think obviously we indulge in our own club, and perhaps it's the danger of getting caught in the bubble of looking, things internally, and we sometimes you can either get carried away with your own team, or you can only concentrate on the weaknesses and the faults and not see the things that others are seeing. So from an outside perspective, Jamie, from a non-Liverpool perspective, how do you see Liverpool's chances through the rest of the tournament then? What would your expectations be for Liverpool beyond this round of the competition?
To be honest, I don't see why Liverpool can't progress a lot further in the tournament, really. I think they're on a day of a real frightening prospect for any team left in the competition. They've got that experience with Klopp, who has reached the final before. And I think the tournament in general has been quite open this season with some of the big guns like Real Madrid not having a very good year. Bayern sort of maybe not quite as strong as they have been in past years. Paris Saint-Germain, I think there's a lot of pressure on them, and obviously one of PSG or Real Madrid is going out in this round. I don't see why they couldn't finish and get to the last four or even the final, to be honest, if the draw goes their way. I think that's a real statement to have beaten Porto so comfortably. As I say, I know most people thought Liverpool would progress, but I think the manner in which they did that shows that they've got the capability to play as strongly away from home as they did it, as they are famed for doing at Anfield in Europe. So yeah, I think if the draw goes right, I don't see why they can't progress, really. There's a few teams they'd be looking to avoid, Man City and Barcelona in particular, I guess. But I don't see why they can't be a relative favourite, to be honest, because I guess the only potential trouble they could really have, as will maybe Spurs and some of the other teams left in the competition, is trying to juggle the domestic season as well as Europe. City, for example, will have the sort of the luxury of their big lead at the top, so you can sort of foresee them resting players in a Premier League game ahead of a midweek European tie, so they might have an advantage in that sense, whereas Liverpool can't really afford to take their foot off the gas domestically, so that could be a problem as the season progresses. But from what I've seen of them, I think they could go quite a way in the competition, to be honest.
Oh, well, we certainly, as Liverpool fans, we certainly hope so. Thanks for all of your input, Jamie. It's been fascinating to get the viewpoint from the Portuguese side of things, and good insight to things as well.
No, thanks very much. I enjoyed coming on. Thanks for having me.
And hopefully there'll be a Portuguese team against Liverpool in next season's competition as well, and we can get you back on again, and we can go through all of this once more.
Absolutely, yeah, I hope so.
So there you have it, folks. It may be a bit of a dead rubber of a game, but you cannot afford to take anything lightly. You can't take anything for granted, but we should expect Liverpool to seal the deal, so to speak, in the second leg. And then we'll just have to see where things go once the draw is made, which we believe is the Friday after the next set of second leg fixtures. But my thanks to Jamie Farr, and my thanks to Guy Drinkle, and our thanks to all of you for tuning in. We will be back before whoever it is we face in the quarterfinals. Obviously, not discounting the anything that could potentially happen, it is going to be. It's going to be navigated. So we'll be back before the quarterfinals. But until then, from me, Andy Wales, it's bye-bye now. Network.